One of my core beliefs in entrepreneurship is that the more effort you put into your personal development, the more your business will grow. I can safely say that for me, the more I have focused on improving my health and wellness, my mindset, and making sure that I am taking care of myself as a high priority, that my ability to show up as an incredible entrepreneur, make better business decisions, and ultimately grow my income and impact have all skyrocketed. This past year, one of my main goals was to become more habitual about my physical fitness. I've been able to create new habits for myself where I'm now getting high-intensity exercise every single day, and holy moly, does it ever feel amazing for my body and mind. So in today's episode of the Past It Project podcast, I am really excited to welcome my own health coach, Kelly O'Rourke, to the show. Kelly is a transformative health coach, a mama of two little boys, an entrepreneur, and a very just thoughtful and inspiring human being. She is literally the reason I'm working out every single day and loving it. So on today's show, we are talking about how to prioritize physical fitness, the workout program she and I both use every single day, what our morning routines look like, the importance of diving into mind, body, and soul health, especially as an entrepreneur, and so much more. It is a really good one, so let's dive in. You're listening to the Passive Project Podcast, where we talk about how to build your online business to make more income, more impact, and give you more freedom in your life. I'm Gemma Bonham Carter, business strategist, mom of two, lover of passive income, automation, and coffee. Welcome to the podcast. Okay, guys, you are in for such a special treat today. I am so excited to be welcoming my friend Kelly from The Clyde Effect, who is a transformative health coach. Kelly, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, we are too. So, Kelly, I'm going to get Kelly to introduce herself in a minute, but she's a mom, she's a fitness and life coach, she's an entrepreneur, and she's so much more. And I just love Kelly. Well, I'll get into it in a sec about how we know each other. And, I actually see Kelly like on a daily basis inside of our little private Facebook group. So, Kelly, can you tell our listeners just quickly kind of like who you are and a little bit about your business?
Yeah, absolutely. I love the way you describe that, like Kelly, just all the things. But really anchoring inside of that transformative health coach with respect to my business. Personally, I am a wife and a mom of two young boys. My boys are 3 and 5. We live in the like rural West End of Ottawa and are big advocates of life outside, being active together as a family. And stepping into entrepreneurship, which has always been on my heart, feels like such an extension and such a natural fit for our family to be able to share our passions, to really serve for others, and to truly live by example with respect to living a healthy lifestyle.
Amazing. So I want to tell you guys all how I first came across Kelly. So of course, it was one of these things where somebody tags somebody on Instagram and you're like, oh, like I guess I'll like follow the chain, and you go down this like deep rabbit hole. And I came across her profile and spent such a long time looking through all of her posts, and she writes incredible captions. And it, she is local to me. We're both in the city of Ottawa. She has kids around the same age as my kids. And just the way that you came across on social media just spoke to me in such a strong way. And so I think like we re and you kind of had maybe seen me too. So I think like we reached out to each other, and we ended up getting together for a little in-person chit chat. And I got to know more about Kelly and more about the business that she runs, and her, in particular, her virtual gym, and which I joined. And we can talk about more what that is in a sec. But now, like through Kelly's help, she's kind of like my, almost like my trainer. Like, you keep me motivated in terms of my fitness, and I've worked it into my daily routine now. Kelly will be very
I love
proud
that.
of me when I tell you that I have
worked out every single day for the last 37 days because I'm on a program and I'm on day 37.
I wish you guys could see me right now. My hands are like double fist pump in the air.
Totally. So I've always sort of been into fitness and worked out sort of in different ebbs and flows throughout my life. But after I had my kids, I found it hard to get back into a routine. And this is really the first time ever that I've stuck to something. And it hasn't just been 37 days. That's just been the latest program I've been doing. I can't remember when I signed up with the virtual gym earlier in the year. Anyway, it's been months and months now. And it's really changed the way I work out and the way I have prioritized that part of my life into my daily routine. So Kelly, could you actually just tell everybody a little bit about your story and about how, like, you know, you came to entrepreneurship? I'm sure we all come through like a windy road to where we sort of end up, but a little bit about like how your business came to be.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to. And I'll start by my sort of journey back into fitness, which essentially was my catalyst into entrepreneurship. I grew up a lifelong athlete, lover of being active and eating well. It's just the life I've always known, and continued it through my pregnancy and even through my first year back to work, actually, with one little one at home. My husband and I found it pretty easy to, you know, trade off and go running or take him out for a run and whatnot. And it really wasn't until I went back to work after my second mat leave that all of a sudden it became exponentially more difficult to be active in the way that I wanted to. You know, we were both commuting and it was both schedules, and getting a family of four out the door to go for a run was like a workout in and of itself. And it just was like a piece of my heart that really felt like it was missing. And it was around that time that I saw a friend of mine, the wonderful world of Instagram, doing these workouts that she was doing from home. And I reached out to her and she connected me with the program that she was doing. And it's the way I describe it is that it brought me back to life. And little did I know at the time, but it also lit a fire in me that I didn't really know existed, and that being the fire of entrepreneurship. And it was around this same time of having young kids, becoming a new mom, and really feeling this desire to rediscover myself, you know, in this new role, and what my family was about and how we would celebrate our traditions and how we would spend our days. And suddenly I found myself counting the years to retirement from my corporate job in my 20s.
Yeah, that's not a good feeling.
No, that was a bit of a red flag for me. And so I decided, like, once I got back into fitness and I started to feel so energized and so passionate again, I decided to take that leap of faith, that leap that I feel like so many of us dream about, you know, one day I'm just going to quit my job and pursue my dream. I did that wholeheartedly. And I was off to, I'm not even sure, to be honest, I was off to just change the world and help the world to become a healthier and happier place. And the vision of what I wanted to achieve was so clear, but life very quickly knocked me on my butt in the beginning of entrepreneurship, which I'm sure so many of you can relate to. And what I realized was I could start to see these parallels between my fitness and my desire to be an entrepreneur. And I remember actually you sharing one day on your Instagram story about the need to sit in your discomfort in your business. Yeah. And it struck me so clearly that I know this so deeply in a fitness routine, this need to sit in the discomfort in order to experience the progress and results. You know, those are typically the moments when people try something new or shift to something else or drop it all together. And I could see that so clearly in my fitness. And all of a sudden it was so clear to me that that's what I was doing in my business.
And you know what's funny? I remember you reaching out after that post and telling me that it like struck a chord with you. And what's funny is I remember I said back to you that I had never thought about it from the fitness perspective. Yeah. And so it's funny how, you know, I would think so clearly about that with entrepreneurship. You think so clearly that way about fitness. And then we just needed to like shine the lens to each other. And so now when I'm doing a workout and there's like I was doing it this morning, there's this like jumping thing in a burpee jumping at the bottom thing that it like kills me.
Yeah.
And I think to myself, like, I'm sitting through the discomfort. Yeah. Keep going. And I'm going to get on the other side of it and feel stronger and build my muscles in a whole new way, which is exactly what you needed to realize for entrepreneurship. It was like building your entrepreneurship muscles, right?
Yes. So much. It was really a pivotal perspective shift for me. And was the first time that I really started to sink into the truth that, and what I would soon learn, was really this truth that having a clear vision is beautiful and so important, and one that I know entrepreneurs can so deeply relate to. But that what's truly most important is the need to work on ourselves and to grow ourselves. And for me at the time, I had my physical health, my body, nutrition and movement was rock solid. But it was expanding my perspective to my mind and my soul as part of my health as well, and feeling this need to work on self-confidence and self-worth and resilience inside of pursuing my business. And that ultimately leading me to down this path of becoming a transformative health coach and helping others, both inside the virtual gym, sharing a common platform and a community that has helped me so dearly in reuniting with my love of fitness. And also being able to support people outside the gym as well with respect to that like broader perspective of health and how it relates to stepping into that vision we have for our life.
Yeah. So let's talk for a quick second about just the struggle of keeping our health and fitness as a priority. And I think particularly as parents, like you and I both experienced that of that being a really big challenge. So how can we sort of make that shift to putting our health as almost like that top priority in our calendar versus this thing that we just hope we'll have time to squeeze in and cross our fingers and know that it kind of never really happens when we're like going off hope?
Absolutely. And there's two things that come to mind for me that I want to share. The first being, this really deep understanding of what a disservice I'm doing to others and to my family and to myself by not creating that time for myself.
Yeah.
We have this really, really backwards perspective that, you know, it be something that we fit into pockets in our day, when really it can be such a beautiful foundation for productivity and inspiration and mental clarity and energy. So really understanding that shift in perspective was really important for me.
Yeah.
And secondly, that speaking specifically to motherhood and in marriage, but in motherhood especially, one of the greatest shifts for me when I started working out from home, I went into it thinking, you know, I'm really not sure how this is going to work. Am I going to have to do it while my kids are napping? And what do I do if my oldest is awake? And I really had this story created in my head that it was going to be a problem and a nuisance and something I had to work around. And what surprised me more than anything was how much I enjoyed having them around during my workout. And suddenly I started to get these thoughts and these feelings of, you know, what a cool opportunity I have to live as an example for them.
100%.
And it has now become a real mantra in our home for my husband and I, that it's important to us that our boys see how we incorporate our health into our day, and that we be, sort of this driving force for the next generation that changes the story about being too busy for our health.
Yeah.
Because when we don't prioritize it for ourselves, that is the model we are teaching them. And knowing how valuable it is, psychologically, physiologically, in so many ways, it feels like a real gift to offer them this ability to lead and live by example.
I couldn't agree more. And I remember seeing your Instagram stories, and we're going to link to Kelly's Instagram in the show notes. You can all go follow her and start watching her stories, because she posts Instagram stories of her doing her workout that morning from home, and her two little sweetie boys like running around, jumping on her back, like trying to do the exercises with her. And it had the same, it sort of opened my eyes in the same way of thinking, okay, Gemma, this doesn't have to be something that like you work in when the kids are being cared for, either mm-hmm. by my husband, or they're out at preschool or school or wherever. This can actually mm-hmm. just be part of your day as a family. And so like you, I work out in the mornings now, and often my kids wake up while I'm working out. They come on into the living room, like the family room that I work out in, and try and copy the moves that I'm doing.
Yeah.
And it has absolutely become part of our routine. And also they ask me questions about it, and they're like, oh, hey, mommy, have you worked out today? Are you done your workout? And I think I love my parents, but like they never did that at home for me. And they never went to the gym either. That wasn't their fitness wasn't a giant sort of priority for them in their lives. And so I had to figure that out for myself as an adult, as opposed to seeing it modeled for me in my home. So I think, and for anybody listening who like maybe is struggling with this, it also just, I'm sure you would say the same thing, Kelly, helps you be a better parent. Like when got my workout in, my patience is better. I'm kinder to like not only my children, but my husband and like everybody around me. I've like done something for myself at the beginning of the day that set myself up for a positive day.
Yes. And there's two things I also want to add for anybody that's listening to this and is being met with some resistance around this idea, that two things were really helpful to me. One, knowing that it is such a transition, that my kids were not angels from day one when I was doing my workout, and that they are still not angels to this day when I am doing my workouts. It was a boundary that we had to work towards, that took time for them to understand and respect that time of mine. And secondly, even more so than that, this ability to release that every workout need to be perfect. And my workouts, some days, my boys sleep in or they're particularly patient and I get my headphones in and zone in and I'm just dripping in sweat and like ready to take on the world. Other days, it's extremely interrupted, or it gets to the point where I'm halfway through and I turn it off altogether and give them my attention. And what I've come to learn is that the routine, the practice of just showing up for myself day after day and leading by example in our home far outweighs that every workout be perfect.
Absolutely.
And it's offered me so much relief.
Yeah. And the other nice thing is inside of the actual workout app that Kelly like teaches us all how to use, and it's the platform, that we all follow. It's called Beachbody for those who maybe haven't heard of it before. And again, we'll link to it in the show notes so that everybody can get more information. But they don't have to be long either. Like I think I had this preconceived notion that my workouts, if I were going to do it from home, it would have to be like an hour and a half, because that's what I'd sort of been used to at the gym. I was kind of like conditioned to think that it was going to be this big chunk of my day. And the beauty about it being from home was that, A, I didn't have to commute anywhere, so like that time is chopped off. right away. Mm-hmm. And then second of all, a lot of the programs within Beachbody are, you know, 30-minute workouts. And like, it's very, very doable on a daily basis. And amazingly, I have had, just in terms of like actual physical sort of strength and my own physical body being stronger and better than it ever has been with shorter workouts. Like, I used to do the hour at the gym and I've never seen results like I've seen now with these half hour workouts. I think because they are in this sort of structured program and because I'm sticking with it.
100%. So consistency is king. That's like sort of a common phrase in the fitness world. Consistency really does make a huge difference. But to your point of these long workouts, what comes to mind for me is this analogy of, blogging or writing, and this concept of it doesn't actually matter how long you sit at the computer for. What matters is getting the words on paper, and the more quickly you can get the words on paper, the more quickly you can move on to your next task and be done. And I'll liken that to the time you spend working out. So it's not uncommon to spend, 60 to 90 minutes at the gym and a set here and a set there and 15 minutes on the treadmill here and there, is much like sitting at the computer and kind of poking away at a blog post or an email, when in reality, it's about that intensity of getting your heart rate up, it can be a short, efficient duration of time.
Yeah.
Is so, so effective.
Yeah, it really is. So, okay, that's amazing. So I want to dive next into health and wellness on a more broad scale, like you mentioned earlier, than just fitness, because I know it is that mind, body, soul kind of trifecta that you had mentioned. Mm-hmm. So do you want to just like provide your take on that a little bit and maybe point out for people that are listening, like just what some of the other important elements are that we should be thinking about when it comes to our wellness as a whole?
Absolutely. So we'll start with the body since we're here in this topic, and we know that movement is such an important part of it, be it running or yoga or a workout, whatever it is. Consistent, regular movement, committing that time to your body. The second part of health with respect to the body is what we put into our body. So staying hydrated, making time to reach for and have available nutrient dense food. And so for me, looking ahead in my calendar is as much about blocking time for my workouts as it is about taking a peek in my fridge and my pantry to make sure that I am well stocked with foods that I can grab over the next few days while I'm working. Shifting from the body to the mind looks like meditation or walks or podcasts, really feeding the mind with healthy, positive, constructive thoughts. And then into our sort of soul food, if you will, is looking at things like journaling and vision boarding and creating those outlets of creativity, being able to connect to the vision and the why, which, when we talk about that disconnect from prioritizing our health, almost always it's because we've disconnected from that vision. We've disconnected from that. Why is this important to me? And I'm not talking about a scale goal, although that may be a part of your vision. It is not your whole vision with respect to being a healthy, strong, vibrant, empowered version of you.
Yeah.
And so creating time for those outlets is so, so valuable as well.
Yeah, absolutely. To speak to the mind aspect that you brought up there around walks and meditation and podcast listening and what we feed our minds. I made a conscious effort to really stop taking in news. And I still try and stay up to date on kind of like the main big stories that are going on in the world, because I don't want to be, completely out of the world loop. However, if we think about like traditional news and media, think about it. Like, it is negative story after negative story after negative story. And when you're listening to that on the radio or listening to that on the television or however you're taking it in, maybe even reading a certain newspaper, every single day, it's just like a barrage of negativity that slowly seeps into your subconscious. And suddenly I found, like, I started seeing everything else in a negative light. And when you remove it, suddenly you really do start seeing the world with a more positive lens. You can be more detached from things and feel like you can not take things so personally or not like it kind of was an incredible shift for me. And maybe that's social media for you, right? Like, maybe social media makes you feel that way. So really getting in touch with what parts of your day are you sort of unintentionally letting negativity in and getting conscious about that.
Absolutely. And I loved the word removing, like removing those negative outlets. And I will add the word replacing, like replacing them with really intentional positive outlets. And so with respect to mind health, part of that is becoming aware of where do I need to grow? Where do I need to strengthen that part of my health? And for me, I shared with you inside of my story was a lot around self-worth and self-confidence. Mm-hmm. And so when I was replacing the content for my mind, I was specifically looking for podcasts and books that had to do with self-worth and self-confidence. And one of them, one of the things inside one of the books that changed me like fundamentally was inside of the 5-second rule by Mel Robbins. Mm-hmm. When she shares that, I'm gonna paraphrase her in her words, but she says, you are not a procrastinator. You have a habit of procrastinating, right? And a habit is something you can change. And I remember this moment of like, did anybody else just hear that?
Because right.
That just rocked my world. And so like really tapping into those timelines of mind health open up such massive opportunities for us.
And once you start opening yourself up to that and reading those books and listening to those podcasts, you have more and more of those moments. Like I have a similar one to you where I listened to James Wedmore's podcast for the very first time and had like a groundbreaking realization. And then I was like, gosh, like, that was amazing. Like, are there more podcasts like that? Like, how can I get more sort of food for my brain like that? And then it becomes this like, you know, amazing snowball effect of like just finding more and more resources like that and having more and more of that come into your like consciousness.
So much.
Yeah.
And when you, it's interesting, you know, my perception of successful people has changed so intensely over the last year. And no longer do I look to a successful person and think, gosh, he or she is so lucky. I look to them and think, wow, I can imagine the work that they have done in themselves to be where they are today. And coming back to this question around how, you know, why do we disconnect from it? What also surfaces for me is that we've really disconnected from the big picture. You know, I hear so many people come to me with questions around their health and it's like, I'm not motivated to run or to eat well. And I just want to shout from the rooftops, you know, that's just a slice of it. Let's take a step back and look at health in the whole picture. Mm-hmm. And it offers so much more opportunity for you to work on yourself and get that ball rolling in the direction, in the right direction. And it's that age old, you know, feeling good breeds feeling good. You know, if you can just get moving in that way.
Yeah. It builds on itself and other things may open up that you never, like we were chatting before we hit record on this podcast. And I was saying like, for me, that working on my personal self in terms of my fitness, and mental health and all that kind of stuff has allowed me to really grow my business, to step into entrepreneurship in a much bigger way, to show up as a better entrepreneur, to have more clarity with my business, and I've had a big year of growth this year. And I think your business can only grow as quickly or as much as you're putting into your personal growth. They kind of go hand in hand, which is why I wanted to, you know, bring Kelly onto the podcast today to chat about all this stuff. So Kelly, just back to kind of tangible stuff for a sec here. Let's talk about morning routines for a minute, because I'm sure everybody's going to want to know, okay, Kelly and Gemma, like, what does that actually look like? What do you do every morning? What time do you wake up? How does it work? So can you share what your morning routine looks like?
I can. So my morning routine, my alarm goes off at 4:50.
Ooh, that's early.
Which gives me... I should preface this by saying I have very early risers, and my husband and I are both naturally morning people.
Got it.
Like, we would be very happy to go to bed at 7 p.m. and get up at the crack of dawn.
Got it.
So you can adjust the timing per your preference. I'm going to share with you my routine.
Yeah.
So my alarm goes at 4:50, which gives me one snooze, to kind of start coming to. I get out of bed around 5 and I come straight to the kitchen. I am highly food motivated. I typically just sleep in what I'm going to wear for my workout. If I wasn't that way, a really easy win when starting this routine is to lay out your clothes the night before. But I just sleep in what I wear for my workouts, typically a pair of shorts and a sports bra kind of thing. I make my way straight to the kitchen. I have a pre-workout. I have a snack, and then I go straight downstairs. As part of the virtual gym, we have a 5 a.m. club Zoom, which is just everybody is muted on a video chat, and you do whatever workout you're scheduled to do that day, but it just provides a really incredible accountability and community, knowing there's other early risers waiting there for you doing their workout. So I go down to hop on that 5 a.m. Zoom and do my workout. And then we come upstairs and it's breakfast, school lunches, shower, getting the kids dressed, and everybody out the door. That hour to hour and a half, depending on how long my workout was, is always a bit of a mishmash, but we somehow managed to get all those things done in some order. And then once they're out the door is when I sink into and shift into that next part of taking care of my health, which is a journaling practice and meditation before opening up my workday.
Right. And so, do you meditate using an app?
Sometimes. I've used Headspace before. Actually, my husband is just exploring the Calm app. I love to do guided meditations. Like, sometimes you'll get them as free downloads.
Right.
If you follow people like Gabby Bernstein, she's got some beautiful free downloads. So I love to do a guided meditation like that.
Okay.
Or sometimes I'll just give myself some quiet space, especially if I'm feeling like a time pressure or a real crunch to get things done. Sometimes I'll just pour myself a bath actually for that meditation process and just sit in quiet and let my mind run its course a little bit.
Right.
Before starting my day.
And with respect to the journaling, because I have an easier time meditating than I do journaling. I find journaling a bit hard personally. What do you like? Do you just allow the thoughts to come to you? Do you use prompts? Like, I know that actually, speaking of Gabby Bernstein, she has some prompts that, because I follow her too, and I even have them like written down here on a little post-it note of like her four questions that you can use to guide your journaling every day. Do you use something like that, or do you just let it be free-flowing?
So it varies, to be honest. Some mornings I come up from my workout and I'm like overflowing with inspiration and I can journal very freely. Other mornings, I'll settle into a bit of a routine. So sort of the elements that are always present inside of my journaling are journaling my vision, taking some time to really write out, you know, when I think a few years ahead and I don't attach a time to it, I just essentially daydream about the life I'm working towards. And I'll write about, you know, a day in the life or how we spend our morning, that kind of thing. And then shifting into some more concrete intentions. If there's anything that I'm really consciously working on inside of my growth at that time, for a long time, it was, I am a calm and patient mom. That was right. Like something I would write daily. And you know, when anytime I'm inside of a nutrition shift, I'll write, I am, you know, nourished by nutrient rich food or whatever it is that I'm inside of at that time.
Right.
And then I always finish my practice with gratitude. And this has become such a secret sauce for me in producing inspired work, because it always shifts me. You know, sometimes I go into journaling and, or I'll go into my workday from this place of feeling like I'm not doing enough.
Right.
Like I can't keep up. And
I'm sure everybody can relate to that feeling.
It's just, it ebbs and flows.
Yeah.
And when I set aside the time to specifically gratitude and really anchor in what I have in front of me and what I'm thankful for, all of a sudden it puts me in this place of like, gosh, I feel so satisfied and I am excited to produce. I am excited to go about my day. And the way I carry myself, the way I show up in my work, it is night and day different, not to mention the way I show up for my kids and for my husband.
Right.
It's completely different.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes for me, if I'm in that same kind of mind zone of like feeling overwhelmed and feeling like I'm not doing enough, just thinking about how far I've come. Like if I think of where was I 3 months ago, 6 months ago, 12 months ago, 3 years ago, and the changes that have happened since then, it's very easy to see incredible kind of growth in whatever it is, you know, any facet of your life, and to see how far you've come and feel grateful for that. So that would be, you know, something I would mention to everybody if they struggle with kind of thinking like with that overwhelm. And speaking on gratitude, this is a bit of a tangent, but I do a similar thing. And the second sort of gratitude practice that we've started to do in our household, because I wanted the kids to be thinking with that same kind of mindset, is before bed now, when they're lying in bed and it's like right before I give them the last kiss and a hug goodnight, we talk about like, what are the two things you're grateful for that day? And when we started it, you know, my daughter would say the same ones every day because she couldn't really like really conceptualize what gratitude and like thankfulness really meant. And so she would just say, oh, I'm grateful for school. And if there was any kind of treat that day, she was grateful for the treat. But now it's like, you can see even just the progression, like it's evolved into like, she's a lot more creative now about what her answers are. And it's pretty neat. Right. And it like, what a nice thing to ingrain in them in having those thoughts, especially like right before bed at the end of their busy day.
Yes, it is such a powerful, I love that so much. There's two quick things I want to say. It can be a really powerful tool to use at any point in the day. Mm-hmm. We've used it really constructively to dissolve sibling rivalry. Has been to say, you know, let's start a kindness war, and you have to say something you're grateful for about the other person.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
It's shocking how much they're like, yeah, let's do it. I love the way you play soccer. And it's been a neat tool in our house. And secondly, and our bedtime routine has been introducing meditation to the kids. Mm. Introducing gratitude is on our list of things to do. But YouTube bedtime meditation for kids. There's some really neat ones, and we just leave a like old iPad in their room, and it takes them through a guided meditation story.
Amazing.
And they really enjoy it.
And so do you go back in after and like turn it off, or does it just turn off on its own?
It turns off on its own, but we do usually go in like once they're asleep, we'll just bring the iPad up and charge it.
Okay.
But
that's awesome. What a good tip.
They really enjoy it. Yeah.
Okay. So, okay. That, this has just been such a good conversation. So tell the listeners a little bit about how the virtual gym works, and a bit more about what that's all about so that they know if they're interested in that, how to access it and find you.
Okay. So one of the things that we had talked about actually before hopping on here was, you know, what are some of the ways, what are some of the things to create strong morning routines or to really create a routine, a health routine of any kind. And one of the words that comes up for me is that's been crucial for me is sustainability. And so the virtual gym is it's a private Facebook group in which we all share the same platform, which is Beachbody On Demand, that we use for our workout programs, for our nutrition programs. If you are new to Beachbody, which I'm like always a little bit floored when I meet somebody that's never heard of it before, it's so exciting to share. It is like, we describe it as a Netflix of workout programs. And my husband and I have a pretty extensive background in fitness, kin, personal training, nutrition. And when we found Beachbody probably 18 months ago, I asked my husband specifically to sit and like watch some of the workouts and look at the resources and like, you know, really critique it. And he came out and was blown away by the quality of the workouts, of the resources, and was like, this is exactly what I used to make for clients. And it took me hours and hours. This is a gift from the heavens.
Yeah. Well, I used about 3 or 4 different apps before kind of coming across you and being introduced to Beachbody. And it is like miles better than anything else I use. Cause I didn't need the push to work out from home. Like I had already been doing that and I have the I had the self motivation to want to do that. But this was such a game changer.
Yeah. And what really makes it unique, what I describe as the magic of Beachbody, is that it is organized by program, and like the variety of program is unlike anything else. Like there's everything from cardio kickboxing to Pilates yoga to traditional like body pump style weightlifting classes. And I always tell people coming in, you know, you can pick and choose workouts if that's what you prefer, but the magic is in completing a program from start to finish, one after the other, because it is thoughtless. You wake up every morning, you know what you're pushing play on. You don't need to think about it. And that feeling of completing a program, the accomplishment, the fulfillment, the self-empowerment, there are not many opportunities in our days to experience that kind of self-empowerment of, I did that. I set out with a clear start line and a clear finish line, and I made it, and I did it. And I did it with my kids in tow. I did it up at the cottage. I did it, you know, with whatever came my way. It is an incredibly sustainable platform. And inside of the virtual gym is just the most magical community of women that are all doing all the things. We have all seasons of life, including my mom, one of our cherished fit nanas, and just everybody in there with the same approach to their health of, you know, I'm here to make this a priority in whatever way that looks like. And if me being here inspires you, that is amazing. And so we have daily accountability and coaches in there to ask questions, and it's really a beautiful community. So I'll link to the virtual gym in the show notes of this. What I would love to do is, if anybody is listening to this call and feeling like, you know, being a yes to their health at the end of this call, I would love to make myself available to connect with anybody, in a call. And then, you know, we can look at doing a free week inside of the virtual gym or whatever is a best fit for them at that time.
Yeah, no, that sounds amazing. And it's in, like, it's very affordable too, which is amazing.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And so the other thing, Kelly, is I know you have, a freebie that you wanted to mention to our listeners, and I would love for you to do that.
Yes. So in addition to, or either or with the virtual, with the free week in the virtual gym, what I also have is a healthy lifestyle plan, essentially, where I walk you through. It's a 4-part tool where we look at creating your vision of your healthy lifestyle, mind, body, and soul. We set some really tangible goals. And by we, I mean you set goals for yourself, but I am there in a video to facilitate that process for you. And then pulling out some choices that you're making day to day and setting up your few next best steps. It's a really nice, like, tangible tool to walk away from that it, or to walk away with, that is not a fitness plan or a meal plan. It is like a zoomed out, broader perspective of what does health mean to me? What are some goals I actually want to set for myself? And how do I need to start showing up every day in order to make those things happen?
Yeah.
So I'll link to that as well in the comments.
Yeah, we'll link to that in the notes. And what I love about that is it's kind of like what you need to do every so often with your business too, right? Is like zoom out and look at that larger, bigger vision of what you want for your business. And often people get really caught up in like vanity metrics or wanting to hit a certain income goal or being really caught up in that stuff instead of having this like zoomed out picture of like, okay, what does my ideal day look like? And then work backwards from that of like, okay, then what does the business need to look like? I might be okay with not having a $1 million business because I have an amazing smaller business that lets me have the day exactly the way I want it, as opposed to just hitting a certain income goal, but I'm run off my feet and I've got a business that doesn't match the way I want to live my life. And so I feel like it's almost like that same idea, but doing it for our health and wellness, which I love.
Absolutely. Beautiful parallel.
Well, Kelly, we have so enjoyed having you on the podcast. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day. And we will make sure that all the links to that, you guys, are in the show notes so you can find Kelly, go follow her on Instagram, grab the free guide, take her up on that week of the free week of the virtual gym, because honestly, you're going to love it. And if you're listening to this podcast, grab a screen grab, tag us on Instagram. Kelly, what's your Instagram handle? Let everybody know.
At Hello Kelly O'Rourke.
And O'Rourke is O-R-O-U.
O-U-R-K-E. That's hopefully right. By the time you get to Hello Kelly, it'll start popping up. You don't need to worry about my mouthful of a last name.
And you guys know me at Gemma.BonhamCarter. So tag us both and we would love to see you listening to the show and we'll share with our audience. And that is it for today's episode of the Passive Project Podcast. Thanks so much for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Everyone tells you to grow your email list, that it's your ticket to profitability as an online business owner. And they're right. But what they forgot to tell you was that unless you're consistently reaching out with valuable and relatable content, your subscribers are going to forget all about you and ignore those sales emails when you do send them. And that's why I created 52 prompts. With just 20 minutes a week and my 52 newsletter prompts, you can turn your subscribers into super fans with weekly emails that are entertaining, engaging, and get them ready to buy when the time comes. No more looking at a blank screen, not knowing what to write in your weekly email. I have given you a prompt for every single week for the entire year. Grab 52 prompts and a bunch of freebie bonuses over at GemmaBonhamCarter.com/52prompts.